Welcome back. This is Site Divine. I have another guest on who's going to share his story, his journey, and how he came to find the Most High Yahuwah, and also the path leading up to finding the Most High Yahuwah. So I'll let my guest introduce himself.
What's up, y'all? Thomas Gibson, born and raised in Dallas, Texas. And yeah, man, that's basically me.
How did you get to Dallas? Are you from Dallas, Texas originally, or?
Yeah, I'm from Dallas, man. I was born and raised in Dallas. Went down with my family to small town outside of San Antonio, called Seguin. And ended up moving back. Parents got divorced and whatnot. And I'm sure we'll probably get into everything like that. But yeah, parents got divorced, moved back to Dallas. And I was there since maybe like second grade up until college. And so, yeah, Dallas is my stomping grounds, man.
What college did you go to?
Kansas State.
Okay. Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Well,
one of them.
Yeah, what? All right. I had to think about it for a while. So how did you get into this walk?
It's been a journey for me, brother. Like I said, I was at Kansas State. I played basketball, started all 4 years. Finished out, and to be told, I didn't really know what to do next. I knew some things about overseas basketball, but then I didn't know too much of it, but that was my journey. Started my first year there, and then second year, I met my wife, and then COVID hit in 2020, right? Something like that. And so I think around 2021 is where it kind of got real for me and my family, just because we were hitting every branch. Like, I knew like there was a bigger purpose for me. Didn't know what it was. I knew it was something going on. Like, I knew there was a higher power controlling and dictating everywhere I went. I didn't know how. Like, I knew I was personable. I knew I was respectful, but you know, it was just something that was like, it's like I was hitting a glass ceiling, you know what I'm saying? And so when COVID hit, you know, me and my wife came back from overseas. I didn't know what to do. There was really not much like basketball. And that was like the first time really in my life where like things kind of like slowed down for me. And I'm like, all right, I need to get some stuff together. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to find like my path. And so, truth be told, man, I don't know how I ran into Truth Unedited. But Brother Ron was probably the start and the beginning of my walk. I mean, and then obviously like with you, like while I was overseas, I was listening to like your first podcast, you know what I'm saying? And it was a little bit different. Anytime we was on road trips, you know, I was tapping in. So, I think you and like Brother Ron, like around 2021, kind of put me on. I started watching The History of Religion, and then I'm like, shoot, like that's it right there. And so I told my wife, and you know, it's been, you know, uphill battle ever since, in a good way though, in a good way.
What was some of the vices that you had to let go of, or maybe stumbling blocks and snares that you went through repeatedly until you found the solution? What was those?
My biggest thing was letting go of my ego, letting go of myself, understanding that, you know, I am not in control of things. As much as I want to be, as much as I wanted to be at the time, especially like when it comes to like my career and my life, like that was, I knew I was standing in like my biggest way. Friends with a little bit of vices, just leading me down to a different path, not in an influential way, but just some things that they did wasn't necessarily the best things I agreed with. But like right now, it was online searching, right? Like things online, and I'm in the process of shedding down like marijuana. You know, I think that's been, you know, I used to be a heavy smoker, bro. And so that has kind of, I think that has probably been like my biggest vice is weed, you know. It still tries to get a hold of me, You know, I still feel like it's an urge sometimes, but I feel like I've controlled it and managed it in a way to where now it's more out of moderation. If that, you know what I'm saying? And so, but even then, it's getting to a point to where like I'm not seeking it. You know what I'm saying? And even when it comes to like my lust of the world, when it comes to like online searching and porn and everything like that, like that was another thing. And truth be told, like I have let go of that vice. There's like you say, always there's like sometimes it's like a ESPN top 10 flashback that tries to come into my life, especially like when I'm doing right. It's funny how when you're doing the things right, how it literally tries to like come back into the back of your mind and try to get there. But those have been like my two things, you know. And then just overall, bro, it's really just my ego, you know.
So when you were smoking weed, what was the reason for it? I like to ask a lot of brothers who said they left the whole marijuana thing alone, or they do it in moderation, but there's always a reason why you choose this specific drug to go to. Like, what brought it on? Was it stress? Was it boredom or not doing anything, or just trying to escape the everyday toils of life? Like, what was your main reason?
That's a good question, man. I think overall, like for me in the beginning, like once I found it was like trauma. I had some things going on between like my mom and dad, and I was an angry child, man. I was very angry. It was burying things, you know. It was, for me, it was a release. It was a cheap vacation in a way, you know what I'm saying? And so, those hours, you know, and I guess in a ritualistic aspect of, you know, rolling it up, you know, doing the whole process of what you need, right? It feels like an everlasting, like elongating effect of dopamine rush. You know what I'm saying? And so it was I wouldn't say a thrill of it, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like I said, like it was a constant hit of like dopamine. And from my trauma, you know, being raised under my mom's roof, not in a traumatic way, but I didn't have a father. You know what I'm saying? And I always questioned and asked why I didn't, you know, and that was always in the back of my mind. And that would just lead to anger and frustration because I didn't have an answer. You know what I'm saying? And the people that I was looking for with answers, they were either lying or they were trying to, you know, hide their own, you know, skeletons in the closet. And so finally, when I found like my healing during like that process in like year 21, 22-ish, around the time I got into this walk and I started asking the real questions, that's when I kind of like let it go, you know, like in the process of letting go. But then also, you could say it's a little bit of you could say it was a little bit of boredom, especially like while I was overseas. You know, I was just always in the routine of it, like especially like being an athlete. It's just like, you know, you have it, like it's easy accessible. You know, you're tired, you know, different schedules, and your body. You know, I always use an excuse as like, oh, my body hurts, which my body still does hurt, you know, but it's different. You know what I'm saying? Like it comes with more, like I said, more responsibility and moderation, if that makes sense.
Now, for your online searching, did that affect your relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was numb, especially on top of like not getting the right answers as far as like my family background and things. Like I was completely numb, man. I think there were some good people in my life that I damaged. Now, you know, I'm married, I got four kids, so none of that matters now. But yeah, it definitely put a little bit of turmoil and black paint on a relationship that came my way. I was a little isolated. I like to be isolated. I still do now, but for the better reasons, you know what I'm saying? It was a real nasty time, man. It was a real nasty time. It was a disgusting time. I know you know about it. It was just one of those. It was just humbling, you know, and degrading. You know what I'm saying? And the fact that, you know, you have to interact with everybody and you got to shake people's hands knowing you're violating your own hand, man. Like, it's just, you right, know, it's, right. Yeah. So it was, it was a nasty time. It was a nasty time. But honestly, I could say, like, I've controlled that. I've won that battle.
Now, I know the Most High doesn't pardon our sins. He's going to make sure we understand his purpose. Did you feel that you had to deal with these tests either in your relationships or just in your day-to-day life trying to get you? Like you said, they would come back in your mind, but usually through people, has that ever been a test? Like, they piss you off to a point where you go back to weed or you go back to online searching. Has it ever been that type of situation?
No, I'd say in the beginning, right? Like when I was reading but not reading, right? Like, I knew that. Well, no, I'm a backtrack. Yeah, for sure. He was definitely testing me every which way, because even when I was in this walk and I was still hooping, I could not get past halftime without having two or three fouls, and it was always like. And I played in Israel too, so like I felt like the refs were like, it felt like more on a spiritual level, because like they would not let me just rock out. They would not let me rock out, and like I said, I was angry, I was frustrated. So there were times where like you're like, yeah man, I let these refs have it. Like I had a interesting reputation in Israel and in Mexico and other places just because how I would blow up. And so, it was nasty, man. It was nasty. But I will say, you know, that was one of the reasons why, you know, I had to take a step back and I had to retire from it, because it was constantly eating me. It was something always wrong. It was something not like being done correctly. It was, you know, and I would bring it home. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't want to do that anymore. And so that's one of the reasons. But yeah, I mean, even to this day, like, people still piss me off. Like, don't get it twisted, but it's not like it's not to where like, oh, well, I'm gonna go back into my vices because of you. I have a bigger sense of self-control now than what I did in the beginning of this walk. And I think it just happened because of patience, timing, correction, and really just sitting back and assessing the situation for what it is. Because when you realize like the Most High like has really control of everything, and how, you know, he put his Ruach in other people to mess with people, right? Like you can kind of see like how the writing on the wall transpires of like, this is for you in some odd way. Like, it's for you, whether you believe it or not, whether it happens in a good way or a bad way, like, it's meant to happen. And so once I put that in my mind, like, a lot of things don't bother me no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are, like, you know, people try to talk about these pagan holidays and things when, you know, I'm at work and they're like, oh, you know, happy Easter or whatever. I'm like, bro, get out of here, man. Like, I'm like, yeah, cool. But other than that, like, truth be told, since I've really been in this walk, I'm doing the proper sacrifices, feast days, holy days. People ain't really bothered me like that. Man. People haven't really bothered me like that, man.
I mean, that's what obedience brings. It brings peace. It's like, yeah. Most High is making sure that, all right, he's doing exactly what I want him to do. I'm going to make sure he's not ever bothered, because he's going to continue to do what. And that's why I try to tell people or sell people that the fact that once you come back to these feast days and these offerings, these sacrifices, if you look at it as you're basically building up the hedge of peace. And once you do that on a continuous basis, your life is downhill from there. Obviously, there's slight little trials and tribulations that we have to overcome because of our own, like you said, ego and little things that we need to perfect our Ruach. But for the most part, it's all peace. Now, how many times did he have to call you Were you like attentive when he called you? Like, all right, I want you to stop this. I'll need you to go here. I need you to do this. Were you attentive to it, or he had to call you a couple of times?
Larry, I'm a little stubborn, bro. So he, I'm not gonna hold you. I'm not here to lie, man. Like I'm a little stubborn, man. I admit that. And so, in the beginning, like I remember I was at a barber shop, and one of the barbers like, you're an Israelite, right? And I'm like, Israelite, like what's that? And so I feel like that was kind of like my first time like being introduced. I didn't take nothing of it, you know what I'm saying? I just went around, went about my way. I read some stuff in the Bible, and I'm like, nah, like I don't know, like not doubting myself or anything, but just like I don't even know what that is, like that is, you know what I'm saying? And then I did New Age spirituality. I was on my way to becoming, not becoming, but I was looking into Muslims. Right, like I was just searching, and just like you say, man, like some people it takes sometimes it takes like hidden going from point A to B to C to D, when you could really just go from point A to Z and you'd be there. But
Right.
for me, I hit just about every stumbling block you can take until it was like, man, you got to pay attention to the writings on the wall, bro. And I appreciate the patience that the Most High has given me for in long suffering by not like ever forsaking me or ever like tossing me to the side, because I know for 1,000% facts that there were times like my wife has she told me by the time like, yo, like you keep smoking, you're not gonna play for long. Oh, okay. But who are you to tell me, right? And then it like and no, nah, that's but that's my woman, man. I love her. She's a Gentile. She's of another nation, but I'm like, even in that situation, I'm looking at it from an ego standpoint. I'm like, how you gonna tell me? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the bloodline. Why he ain't told me this? But shoot, sure enough, man, that was maybe 2 years later, I retired. Just like that. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, it took him a minute, but it didn't. It's not like he had to hit me upside my head like plenty of times, you know? Yeah.
How has waking up affected your relationship with your parents now?
Oh, brother, that was me that told you about that stuff with my dad. You made an episode about it. I reached out to you. It's been interesting. I had to separate from my mom and dad for a while.
I remember we talked about that.
I had to separate from them for a while just because they weren't understanding what I was doing, especially like especially me being a professional. Like there's just some like you obviously know you gotta have boundaries, like you know responsibility, you know how to move and groove in this world. And so me going from like them having their perception of me being just a straight basketball player and nothing else and nothing more, to walking in the law, statutes and commandments, and not eating pork anymore. Oh man, you would think I did so wrong by not eating pork, bro. Like you would think that, like I don't know, man. It's crazy, and it's right there in the scriptures, right? And so, they tried to get us together a little bit in the name of family, right? Like, I remember, I just came back from overseas, and one summer my dad hit me and was like, hey, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do this, and go to Galveston, and we just gonna fish, and it's gonna be a thing. We have been in this walk for a while. And so when he told me that, I'm like, cool, it's nothing, I'm not thinking of it. Man, come to find out, we on a boat. It was like, yeah, so how y'all doing on this Father's Day? I said, huh? I said, huh? Like Father's Day. I looked at my wife looked at me, I said, hey, man, ain't no way. Right? And lo and behold, it was Father's Day. But we were so deep into our walk that we didn't even know the dates of the Gregorian calendar.
Good.
So like we was tapped in, and yeah, that pissed me off. And then I told you about a situation when it came to my dad, I was sitting there praying and wondering why, you know, he was the way he was. He wasn't listening. And then, you know, he showed me his true colors that one day. And ever since then, we haven't really talked, but I'll tell you what, and this kind of goes back into me being a little bit stubborn. So I didn't talk to my dad since like October, since that happened. It's now March, April. It was now about March. Let's say March. The Most High was giving me a couple of dreams of like talking to my dad. Like we in like this tower, this building, but it's like rocky foundation. Like we sliding everywhere. It was foretelling like our relationship is rocky, but it can't be fixed. It can be fixed. Mm-hmm. And so I'm praying to the Most High. I'm like, man, you know what he did. You know what he talked to me. You know, I don't like, should I reach out to my father and just check on him and see. And I'm like, man, Yahuwah, I need like two more signs. I just need it. Like, you got to treat me like an elementary kid and hold my hand and show me. Otherwise, I'm not really going to know. And then within the next week, he showed me like two more signs. I'm like, all right. So I went ahead and sent him a picture because I look just like him. I sent him a picture and he texted me back and we were cool. But, you know, I kind of just had to let him know, like, hey, man, this is what I'm doing. Like, I'm sorry for, because I still want to honor him, mm-hmm. right? I still want to respect him. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man, like, I'm sorry for what I did. But at the same time, this, I gave him a whole, you know what I'm saying? I gave him kind of a whole spiel. And we kind of been good ever since. Now, we haven't talked about anything spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't really gone down that rabbit hole. But the fact that, you know, the connection is still there. You know, I send him scripture verses every now and then. So, you know, that's cool. You know, my mom, she just came up and visited. She sees, you know, because we homeschool our kids. Mm-hmm. We're not in the education system or anything like that. So she was kind of worried about that because my whole family's in education. Mm. And so they like, oh, well, you know, you got to do this. You got to do this and climb the corporate ladder and yada, yada. I'm like, nah, we're not doing any of that. But they see how my kids are, right? And they see how my kids correct them in the proper way. Mm. Like, I guess it was a situation where my mom and grandma were in the car with my kids and something came up and my kids are like, nah, we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't do that. And, you know, truth be told, I don't think you should do either, Gigi. And so, but it's a difference between doing it the righteous way and then just telling somebody off. Right. And I think that kind of clicked with them and understanding like what we're doing is salvageable for everybody and it's not hard. And like, you know, we're doing it in a righteous way. You know what I'm saying? So, family has been cool, man. My grandmother, she's hardcore Pentecostal, hardcore. That's on my mom's side. And so even she read it like, cause we have daily Bible verses, on our board from the Sefer app. Uh-huh. And so I'll just take the Sefer app. I'll write down what the verse says. And then I'll put it on the board so that they can see it throughout the day. Shoot, she read it like Yahuwah, like, yeah, Yahuwah, like, you know, Yahuwah, like, and she, you know, she was like, oh, okay, cool. But it's never been like that bite. Like, I'm thinking like fishing, like nobody really wants to like take the bait and like just
nibbling.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't like, they don't really want to talk about it like that. You know what I'm saying? And so it's, family's cool, but like, even like on my wife's side, like they know not to come up in there with all that. I don't allow them to, you know, they'll even go above and beyond to like try to talk to my wife, like without me, which is weird. It's kind of like, you know, Adam and Eve and the snake, you know what I'm saying? But, my wife holds it down, man. Her family has boundaries as well. What I'm saying, like boundaries, like we put her family on boundaries, you know, and I put my family on boundaries. And so it's like nobody really, really trying to infiltrate like that. Right. You know what I'm saying? Trying to talk to my brother about it. You know, he gets it, but I don't know if he's necessarily started, you know, 100%. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, family's going to be family, man. Like, as we all know, like, they're going to be who they are. You can't convince them. You can't change them. Mm-hmm. But they know our door is always open for those who, you know, who want to talk and really want to, you know, listen to the gospel.
Right. What was the reason why you homeschooled your children?
Oh, public education system, nasty, man. Like, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't disrespect anybody who does it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a part of the system myself. Like, I work for Child Protective Services.
Okay.
So I get it, right? But when it comes to my children, nah, I'm just respectfully not going for that. Like, I want them to be raised the right way. I don't want them to have any influence when it comes to what I'm trying to teach them. And what we're teaching them is right. Like, I know that, you know, within, you know, my heart, mind, and soul, like, what we're teaching them is right. And, you know, I'm just not going to allow anybody to come in there and tarnish that, man, just because. And I think the Most High knows that too, right? Because the Most High puts you in places and situations to where, you know, you can be protected. Man, the Most High knows not to, I think he knows not to, like, put my family and kids and anything like that, because, you know, I would black out, bro. Like, I really would. Like, I wouldn't take that too kindly, especially with everything that's going on right now in the public education system, mm-hmm. learning about the different alphabets of the world and, you know, learning about, you know, history that's falsified and half truth and half lies. Listen, the Bible is a history. This is what you're going to learn. This is what it is. You know, my wife, she does a great job homeschooling. My two kids are reading. Mm-hmm. My two oldest boys, I got two boys and two girls.
Okay.
So,
what ages?
Yeah, my oldest, he's about to turn 7 here within a week or so. Mm-hmm. My second boy, he's 5. He'll be 6 in November. My third daughter, she's 3, and then my fourth, she's about 9 months.
Okay.
Yeah, so we tapped in, man, and we just want to lead them the right way. We got our, you know, we just trying to have our own little community, you know, with no cracks in the armor, bro.
Yeah. That's such a strange jump from basketball to Child Protective Services. Is that something you studied in college, or how'd you come about that move?
I studied Family Studies, Human Services.
Okay.
And like I said, man, every when I think back and I reflect, every part of my life has been like for now. You know what I'm saying? My dad, he was a coach, so he always had kids around. He always had other kids, which, you know, it was odd for me because it's like you helping and raising these kids, but you're not helping me and my little bro. So that kind of raised the question as to why are family dynamics the way they are. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I go to school, I go into public education, which, you know, just because everybody in my family was, but I'm like, nah, this not for me. I'm not going to be a teacher. You know, there has to be a different way I can help the community. And so I changed my degree to Family Studies, Human Services. And I fell in love with it because I understand the umbrella of a whole family structure. Now I understand why mom and dad weren't on the right terms. Now I understand why, you know, dad may have to leave. I understand why mom is at odds. I understand why this third child may feel differently than the first or second because of the whole umbrella and the structure of the family dynamics. And now you get everybody's emotions involved under a house and what and trying to meet their needs, right? It went into a whole rabbit hole for me and understanding like why me and my family kind of didn't work out the way I see fit. Not how the Most High see fit, but how I see fit, right? Because everybody wants to live in a house under one roof with their mom and dad and everything to be sunshine and rainbows. But unfortunately it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? So
That, you know, I always had that in the back of my mind. And once I retired this past summer, because my grandfather passed away, and I didn't want to take my family overseas anymore. You know, we got our fourth child. It's getting expensive out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just didn't want to do it. And so, man, truth be told, I just hit up Indeed. And there were times, man, when I filled out 100 applications, brother. I filled out hundreds. I lied to you not, man. And not one of them hit me back. I was trying to work at Dave & Buster's. I was trying to, and this is like during like COVID time, and like this past summer, like I'm just trying to get a job to make sure we get constant good flow. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, Family Studies Human Services, it kind of just fell in my lap. I mean, not Family Studies Human Services, Child Protective Specialist. So CPS, it just fell in my lap, and it felt right. You know what I'm saying? Like, I prayed on it. I fasted on it. There was another job that I was, there was another opportunity that I was going to work at Shamrock, which is a freight company. And I was going to be like doing some other stuff. Like, I was basically going to be the middleman, but it looked good because it was unlimited commission. It's a good standard job. Like, they'll move you out, yada, yada, yada. They got all the glitz and glamour of the job. But man, brother Larry, I've been selfish my whole life, bro. I'm like, I got to do something in the community. Like, I got to serve, you know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, he took that away from me. Well, I denied it. And then CPS, like a month later, was like, hey, we got this position for you. And I'm sitting here trying to get it and get started as soon as possible. Well, I can't knock you who was timing. And so, because I had a situation where I'm trying to get my license reinstated from Texas while living in Kansas. And Texas was giving me the runaround. So I had to wait like 4 months, you know, to finally get it done. But man, by the praises of the Most High, they were willing to wait on me. And so I'm like, shoot, that's not a sign if it ain't nothing at all. So I just started in February, bro. Started in February, and it's been cool. It just goes into one of those situations. And even then, you know, everybody got a stigma about CPS. Right. I mean, I haven't had no problems at all.
You haven't seen any problems either? Because I know I've heard stories or conspiracy about how CPS was involved with the trafficking of children to certain orphanages or certain foster homes. It goes deep into that. You haven't seen or heard anything like that?
Absolutely.
And that's, really? And
that's absolutely, bro. I wish we could tap into it, but yeah, there was a situation where a higher up in Chicago was paying his foster family like upwards of like $1,000 a month. No, I'm sorry, not a month, a week. To, you know, get some boys, basically. And a lot of people operate out of fear. A lot of people don't understand situations, especially when it comes to like our folks, right? Like, and unfortunately on that side, not a lot of folks really look like us. And you know what I'm saying? And so they operate out of fear. You know, they got people getting higher positions because, you know, they're filing like once or twice a month. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm feeling like one of those guys that's just like, I'm feeling like one of those guys that, you know, I'm there to serve a purpose. I'm definitely not here to take anybody's children, but I'll be a liar to say like people not doing that, because people definitely doing that, bro.
Do you feel like this is your calling? That you feel like you're walking in the calling of the Most High Yahuwah, that it wasn't basketball or anything you had planned for yourself, that this is where you're supposed to be?
Yeah. I was just talking to my wife today, man, where we were sitting in the sun. It's like, I couldn't really ask for anything better, right? Like, even throughout all my mistakes and transgressions and egotistical mindset that I've lived for over the past 20 years, I have a great chance to correct that. by performing righteous works, by giving alms to the poor, by helping people, you know, get like gather and collect resources, whatever they need in that moment to thrive. You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like I'm feel like where I'm supposed to be, man. And the only reason I say that is just because I've tried that route of going here, there, and everywhere on my own free will, and it never worked out. It never worked out the way I thought it would work out. You know what I'm saying? And so I finally just threw my hands up. I'm like, most like Yahuwah, I'm giving it to you, man. You just guide me. You tell me what I need to do. Show me what needs to be done. And like I said, lo and behold, he got me the CPS job.
Now, I really want to go deep into this whole ego thing, because you mentioned it a couple of times. I want to know what that word means to you. Were you putting yourself in front of everyone, even family, even your children? Were you selfish in a way where you're in conversations and you have to bring up yourself? Like, only you matter. Only your story mattered. Only your suffering mattered. No one else mattered. Was there a lack of empathy shown to others because you felt like you deserve more? Break down for me what the ego problem was, and then tell me how you got out of it.
Man, for me, I just felt like I couldn't be touched. I felt like I couldn't be touched. I felt like I felt like I was a victim in my own way, you know, like, oh, poor me, like my dad's not around, and oh, poor me, like my mom, you know, lied to me to keep my dad away, or like, why me? You know what I'm saying? I always ask, it's like, why me? Instead of like just taking a step back and assessing the situations. Another thing is like, yeah, I mean, I got everything whenever I wanted to. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I wanted to go to the bar, like, I can just walk into the bar with some flip-flops, like, and not pay a dime for any drink, because, you know, 5-7 people would give me free drinks, right? Like, you know, I've gotten gifts from people that you know, probably wouldn't do that in their right state of mind, you know what I'm saying? Or like college really fueled me in an egotistical way. And then once you go like overseas, like that's a whole different animal, because like they know you're there to perform. So they're going to make sure they give you anything in a certain way to make sure you perform. And so I just felt like it was always about me. I never like put anybody down at the expense of me, or never talk down on anybody like that, because I was still raised with like good manners and shit. So I don't want people to think like, you know, I was just out here like wilding, but in my mind I was, because like I could get anything whenever I wanted to, you know what I'm saying? And so and then even then, like the things, like, you know how it is being a professional athlete, man, like you got to talk to yourself crazy sometimes, right? Like, so, you know, there were times when, you know, I'm shooting 500 shots, and in my mind, I'm basically just building a fortitude of unrighteousness, you know, if that makes sense. Like, because like the stuff that I'm saying is just crazy, like, you know, and it just puffed me up, bro. It just puffed me up. Like, I knew what I was going to get every night, like, you know, on the court. I knew that, you know, I could eat whatever I wanted to. It was just a downhill thing for me, man. Like, but I think that goes for a lot of people too, man. Like, they just get in their own way. You know what I'm saying? So that's basically it.
How'd you get away with it though? Like, how did you get it out of your system? Away? I mean, it's hard to like to think that you're the man and all of a sudden be like, okay, I have to walk away from something that's puffed me up. Like, how do I get rid of that?
I'm gonna be honest, brother. The only reason I got out of it was, I think it was because my grandfather passing away. Like, because I was able to mourn him instead of mourning the idea of basketball. If that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Right? Like, because he had just passed in July. And so I'm just devastated, you know? And again, like, this is one of those things where the Most High has just answered my prayers, because, you know, I knew, like, over the past couple years leading up to that, like, he was on his way out. And I prayed so hard to at least allow me to be here when it does happen. You know what I'm saying? And so that's honestly the only way I got out of it. Like, and obviously reading the Bible, shifting that focus of putting my wife and family first, right? Making sure that they have everything that they need, giving them, doing the right things for them to make sure that they're okay. You know, the only thing I can say, honestly, is time, bro. Like, time, like, constant reading, you know, meditation, and just giving myself time to make those corrections, if you know what I'm saying, you know? So I got out of it. There's still some moments, not ego-wise, but there's still some moments where, like, I miss basketball, you know what I'm saying? But the Most High has filled up my cup so much to where, like, I don't really think about it no more. And then I see, like, some of my brothers and sisters that retire, like, they're going through it, you know what I'm saying? And I think it's just a foundation that I laid during those times, those later times where I was hooping, to where now that I give it up, I'm just cool, bro. I'm just cool. I focus on my family. I focus on my wife, my kids. I focus on my job and time, man, time.
How did Yahuwah shape you as a dad, knowing that you had a rocky relationship with your father? How did Yahuwah shape you into being a good father, despite having the father that you had?
I'd honestly say that, man, when my first son was born, like, he was born in Finland, and, you know, obviously I was not equipped to be a father at that time. I didn't know what it took. I didn't know what he needed. All I knew really is that, like, he needs me to be there. Right. Because that's all that I really ever wanted. I just wanted my father to be there. So, but I didn't really know what that looked like. You know what I'm saying? And so when I first got to hold him, you know, man, like, it was magical in a way, you know. And so that drive home, I'm by myself, family's, you know, my wife and child, they're still in the hospital. But shoot, I get back home and I'm just staring at the picture that I took, man. And then next thing you know, like, you know, when a light turns on, like a light bulb, and it grows and grows and grows until it, like, just pops. That's kind of like how it was with my heart, man. It's like my heart just opened up. And so, I mean, through it all, man, it was really just trial and error. I'm not going to lie. I've never seen what it takes to, like, I've seen some situations, but not on a day-to-day basis, to, like, what it takes to, like, be a man, you know? And I say this all the time. The man that I was with IV, because he's the fourth, so we call him IV. The man that I was with IV is a totally different person that I was with Tiana, my youngest. Like, we're totally, like, just totally different. But overall, I knew I needed to do something. Like, I know I needed to make sure he has the clothes on his back. I knew I needed to be there. I knew I needed to listen, you know, and I know I needed to guide him in the right way. And I think it took trial and error, brother. It took trial and error. And ultimately I kind of just got it down packed, man. I would say that I'm a great dad. I think if you ask them, they would say that as well. You know, I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some times where, you know, I've messed up, or I want some things done in a certain manner, you know, but I think the examples of fathers in the Bible mm-hmm. kind of helped me out, you know, what they were doing. And if this is, I mean, and you know how it is when you got coaches that are strict, or like family members that are strict, this is what it is. This is what it's going to be. Don't deviate. Mm-hmm. So the best thing that I can hang on to is Abram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, right? You cling on to what they did
and what they were doing to show themselves approved, that's what we're gonna do. Mm. Right? So like even this last Shabbat, I let my oldest, he put the lamb on the fire, right? Just to introduce him to those practices that we need to do. Mm. Right. I'll have Tobias sometimes, put the fire in the pit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll have them do that. And then, you know, we totally removed ourselves from sports. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a big thing, because I wanted to show them the proper way. That got me to where I needed to be, yes, but at the same time, there's a lot more.
Right.
And so I'm showing them now just, you know, the proper feast days, the holy days, the set apart days, you know, what to do, what not to do. And now they're correcting people. They understand what's right and wrong. Even if they have conversations in the park, like there's conversations that they don't partake in, you know? And so I think the beautiful thing about parenthood is that you don't know whether you're doing it like right or wrong. Right. You can kind of just got to hope and pray that what you've given them, the tools that you've given them, you know, they can make something out of it. And right. So I know for a fact that I'm giving them the proper tools, you know, that the Most High has set apart for generations and generations. So how can I really be wrong?
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just about them.
How did the Most High Yahuwah shape you as a husband now, and knowing that you had to walk away from online searching, porn, and lusting? Like, how do you move from lusting strangers to now bringing it back to your wife? And I don't know if you're lusting after your wife, but how is that transition? Because, I mean, you have to fill that hole. Like that is a very big hole that we fill, especially, you know, being athletes. You have so much access. You have access to coochie. It's just so much. Like, you, I mean, it's there. And I mean, it's your mind goes to all of these different locations, places, at times. Like, how do you bring it all back together? Be like, okay, I'm focusing on just this person that the Most High has given me.
It's a great question, man. I mean, honestly, like you said, it's just focusing on her, knowing and understanding what she needs, and really just putting myself in her shoes, right? Like, you know, I've hurt her before. I've done some things in my past that weren't righteous towards her. And so I think knowing that she's carried these kids of mine, knowing that, you know, she sacrificed her life, you know, to come overseas with me. She's, you know, knowing that while I'm out, you know, in this forsaken world, that, you know, she is helping and protecting my kids. And so during those times, like, as a human, the brain will try to get you back there. The ruach will, not the ruach, but the temptation and everything, it tries to get upon you. But you have to remind yourself, like, this is what I'm doing. This is what me and my wife are working towards. This is who I love. This is who me and her, we've, you know, shared our vows together. And so once I really removed the stuff from online, myself, like taking it upon myself, because I mean, bro, she's low-key even caught me. Type, you know what I'm saying? Like in the worst way. Like in the worst way, bro. In the worst way, bro. So when I say like down bad, like, yeah, I was down. And so I'm just like, nah, I can't do that. Like, I look crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. So really just have to humble myself and like take a step back and to control myself, man. Like, you really just got to make a conscious decision, and then the Most High will provide you with like the scriptures and just the understanding of how men move, you know, because, you know, everybody talks about like, you know, oh, well, you know, the Most High provided people with, you know, multiple women and yada, yada. I get that. That's, you're right. But you know, I just want to focus on my one because this is already enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, he's blessed me a lot, man. And he's just corrected me. He's humbled me in silence. You know what I'm saying? Like, just like you say, he'll correct you in silence. And then it's up to you on how you want to take it and move on from there.
Well, we reached the end of the show. I feel like I already asked you this question broken down into husband and dad, but to encourage the young brothers out there who either wanting to be fathers, going to be fathers, going to be husbands, what is it all about? How do you mix righteousness with being a father, being a husband in this world, trying to do it right?
I think you mentioned this sometimes too, man. It's like, all right, so in a man's perspective, like if you single right now, like I would say, like follow and find the Most High first, right? Like follow and find the Most High first. Make sure you're straight on all ends before you start bringing other people or other kids into your life, because now, just like what I've researched and what I've studied over in college, like once you start bringing people into your life, if you don't have it down, if you don't have yourself down packed, then, you know, you gotta, your workload gets harder in a way. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, like, on a single tip, just make sure that you're straight. I feel like you know, just shouldn't be, you know, trying to see, you know, spread your wild oats everywhere. You know, just make sure you focus on you and then pray and understand that the Most High will bring somebody to you. Now, if you a husband in this walk, I mean, I would honestly say it's a little bit easier now to just focus on your family. Mm-hmm. You know, focus on your family, get rid of the distractions. If there's friends that want to lead you to a bachelor party or some nightclub and it's just boys' night, like, and you know how you are when it comes to your vices and your lusts, like, then don't go. Especially if you feel like you don't have, you know, a real control over it, mm-hmm. you know. Focus on the kids. The kids in the next generation is very, very important, you know, especially biblically. Like, you know, you got to make sure you raise them up. And I think it all just depends on, you know, how you want to be remembered. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you want to be remembered as a cornball that didn't take care of his business? Or do you want to be remembered as a man, even through all your turmoil and all your trials and tribulations, you turned out the right way, all because you opened up your Bible and, you know, read it and got the Ruach HaKodesh to guide you in your footsteps, not some other man, mm-hmm. right? Not somebody else, not some pastor in a pulpit or anything, but just like you doing it. And I think that, you know, you setting that example will help your children and everybody that come, you know, after you, to make sure that you did it right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy, but it's not, you know what I'm saying? It's one of those, like you said, it's one of those things where once you find the righteousness and you under his wing, it gets to a point to where, like you said, it's just smooth sailing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but obviously there are going to be some times and trials. So I would say just always just, you know, start focusing on your family when those times come.
Good. Thank you, my brother, for this lesson of maturity. I'm glad I had you on this episode, because I like to hear brothers, especially in the athletic walk, because it's a wild journey. It's a wild walk. And not everybody makes it out of the athletic life because they don't want to let it go. But I'm glad that I met another brother who was like, you know what, I'm moving on. I got something else better to do, and actually walking in the purpose that the Most High has given you. So hats off to you, my brother, and thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me. You're welcome.